I hope you're enjoying these studies in 1 Timothy as much as I. We're at chapter 4 now. The Spirit speaketh, that is, the Spirit speaks through the Word of God, told Paul what to write down. We believe in the inspiration of the Bible. We believe that the Bible is really God's Word, not just the ideas of certain men. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. There are some very solemn warnings in the Bible. The first five verses of this chapter, chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, gives us warnings about the latter times. And then from verses 6 to 16, he tells what a good servant of Christ will teach, in contrast to the apostasy, the teaching that is wrong. Now, 1 Timothy talks about the latter times. 2 Timothy talks about the last days, while in 1 John 2:18, the Revised Version says the last hour. Now, that was written some 30 years after this. Just recently, a scientific magazine appeared with a picture of a clock on the front of it. Well, this was not a Christian magazine, but a scientific magazine. And they had the clock set at 5 minutes to midnight. Then they came out with an anniversary edition, and they'd moved the hands up to 3 minutes till 12. Even men of the world realize that this is the very close of this present age. I hope all of you are ready to meet the Lord. I'm not saying when he's coming, but I believe the Lord Jesus is coming soon. He speaks here in the opening verses of this chapter about the increased demon activity and the denial of plain scripture. And certainly that's a sign to us in the professing church today. It's hard to find someone who really believes the Word of God. It's hard to find people who hold fast to the plain teaching of the depravity of man and of salvation by faith through the precious blood of Christ. Well, now, he not only warns them against the wrong kind of teaching, but he tells them what is right. It would be very confusing to us simply to say the world is full of bad teaching without giving us any criterion, without giving us any standard. But he reminds them of the Word of God. He teaches us that we need to get back to the Scriptures, and this we can do. Now he said in verse 6, if thou put the brethren, the believers, are you one of God's children? Are you one of my brothers? I don't mean brothers in some denomination. I mean, are you my brother in Christ? Have you been born into God's family? Salvation is a new birth, or includes a new birth. And so he says, if thou put the brethren, the saved, born-again Christians, in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. The word minister means servant. And if you're a child of God, you want to serve the Lord Jesus. Well, you'll be a good servant if you tell others, put them in remembrance. It isn't that you're teaching them something new, but helping them to remember that the Word of God is the only true basis of our faith. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Have you attained to good doctrine? Are you basing what you believe on the teaching of God's Word rather than on the teachings of some church or some man? Now, the Word of God will be nourishment for us. He says you'll be nourished up in the words of truth. In 1 Peter 2, he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. That would be the simple things of the gospel and related subjects. And when we're first Christians, we can't understand the whole Bible, but we can understand the simpler parts. And just as a baby spits out something that's too hard for him to handle and drinks his milk and grows, so a young Christian need not worry about some things that he can't understand. Don't ever let anything you can't understand spoil what you do understand. Go ahead and enjoy the good things of God, and then develop your spiritual IT so that you can take in the deeper things. Now, it's a sad thing when a person has been a Christian quite a while and he can't take anything stronger than the milk of the Word, the simple thing. He said to the Corinthians in the third chapter of his first letter that you're carnal and you're like babes in Christ and you can't understand deep things. And he had this same complaint in the sixth chapter of the Hebrews. But if you go on and study the Word of God, you'll be able to take in more and more of it. Now, he says that bodily exercise will profit you for a little while. That's the revised reading of verse 8. But that godliness is profitable for both this world and the world to come. So if you'd like to make an investment that's really worthwhile, you go in for God's things. You spend time studying the Word of God. He says in verse 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now, we've noticed two of these already in our study. Here's another one. The Word of God is worth accepting. It's a faithful or a true saying and worthy to be accepted. You need not have any fear about accepting what you find in the Word of God. And then he said, these things command and teach. You know, the Lord Jesus said he is both Lord and Master. As our Lord, we ought to pay attention to what he commands. As our Master, we ought to listen to what he has to teach us. Now, I think in verse 10, we have the focus of the Word of God, the center of the Word of God, the important topic and subject of the Word of God is the Savior himself. He says, we trust in the living God who is the Savior. Now, he says here that he is the Savior of all men. Does that mean that all men are saved? Not in the sense that we're speaking about when we talk about the saved and the unsaved people, because the Bible plainly says that some are not saved. He says, of some, the summer is ended, the harvest is past, and we are not saved. But he's talking here about God being the preserver, the one who cares for all people, but especially of those who believe. You know where you're getting that breath you're drawing right now, don't you? You're getting it by the goodness of God. You know where you got that food that you had last meal and all of your life? You got it by the kindness of a faithful Creator. Now, how foolish of us to accept food for our bodies and reject the bread of heaven for our spirits. How foolish of us to take God's earthly gifts and reject eternal life. How foolish of us to be interested in just what we need to keep our bodies going, which are only intended as vehicles for our spirits for a little while here on this earth, and neglect that eternal part of you, which is to live forever someplace. Is God your Savior? Well, here's one man who could say, we trust in the living God. Now, the money you have in your pocket says on it, in God we trust. I wish this were more genuinely true of all in our country and of those who lead our country. And we ought to pray for them earnestly that it may be more and more true of all. But is it true for you? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? To trust a person is to depend upon that person. If you're depending upon yourself, you're not saved, because we cannot trust ourselves for salvation, but we must trust in the living God. Christ died for our sins. He paid the way. He purchased our salvation. And so we're saved by putting our trust in him. And don't think of him as a crutch. Some people say, well, I think we ought to do the best we can, and the Lord Jesus will make up the difference. That isn't the teaching of the Bible. It doesn't say he's a good helper. Says he's the Savior. He doesn't help save, he does the saving. And then we can live for him. And beginning at verse 12, he gives us six different ways in which those who have trusted Christ ought to be an example to other people. Study them carefully. We ought to be an example to other believers. We ought to live to please him. And this is true for young Christians as well as old ones. each of us ought to be careful about our actions to show that we really are saved. I hope that I do good works, and when I do them, I don't do them in order to get eternal life, but I do them as a proof to others that I do have eternal life. And then he tells us the importance of Bible study. Now, this began with warnings against those who depart from the Scriptures and from the truth. And now here's the way to keep from departing from it yourself. Turn to the Word of God. He says in verse 15, meditate upon these things. Spend time thinking about God's things. This will develop your spiritual life and gift. And as you meditate upon it, it will not only feed you, but then he says, take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. It isn't enough simply to learn these things, but now if you have received Christ as your Savior, and you read the Word of God, and you find something that he wants a Christian to do, well, then do it. Go right ahead and do it. With his strength and with his help, apply it to yourself. And then when you have done this, and you have obeyed the Word, you'll be able to teach it to others. And in doing this, he said, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, this is not saving yourself from hell. It's only those who have been saved that can study and enjoy his Word. But you will keep yourself from a great deal of harm and trouble, and you'll be a help to others in doing this, because you'll be able to teach them some of the things that are right. See, this chapter has to do with the apostasy, which is wrong, and with the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God, which is right. And if you have been spared and delivered from false teaching, and you know something that is true, you have an obligation as a steward of the truth of God to pass it on to somebody else. Now, they're not going to, never mind what they do think, but they're not going to think that you're setting yourself up to be a preacher or a teacher. They will just enjoy with you these good things that you share with them. Now, let's give God thanks. We do thank thee, our Father, for giving us thy Word. We thank thee that we're not left to our own imaginations nor left in the dark. We pray that we may cling to the Word. Bless those who have never trusted Christ yet as Savior. Grant that they may do so, for his name's sake. Amen.